Who's been in a plane? Okay, more than one time. Leave your hands up. More than one time. Okay, great. So everyone's been flying and been more than one time. Been a few times. And I want you to remember the time where you've just sitting down in that plane and you've buckled up, and then the time for the instructions of the safety procedures will take place. And when you look around and you think, okay, what am I going to do? Get myself ready, set. Everyone else is getting their iPads and laptops organized, perhaps put away to get later on, and fixing different things. And you find, probably yourself included, I know I've done this many times, I know it. I've been through this before. I know what she's going to say. I know what she's going to say. As a matter of fact, I've even come to the point where I can actually do it if I wanted to. I know it. Have you ever not really said that, but in your actions, you know. But if you've been there and you've heard it over and again, you think to yourself, okay, now I should listen to this again, just in case I miss something. I should listen to this again, just in case I forgot. That's great. That's wonderful. I try to do it I try to be put myself under that discipline to listen to it again and try to help out the lady or the man that's actually presenting the instruction, because the worst thing that it can happen, they know half the time people are not even paying attention. Why? Because they've been through it before. They've been on that. They know what's going to take place. They know the procedures. And so at times this could happen to us with the Word of God. And it's very dangerous when it does happen to every single one of us with the Word of God. You know, have you ever sat in a message and the preacher have, you know, basically gone to text and you thought, I know what he's going to preach on. I know where he's going to go with this. His motto was, get up and go and preach it then, you know. I've done that. I know, you know, you try to work things out, and then I've had the Lord communicate to me saying, Charlie, you might have heard this before, especially when the gospel's being preached, but maybe you can learn something. Or maybe you can have a refresher. Maybe you could, you know, just something, God will just touch something else that you may need in your heart today. Just something. You know the story, you know what's going to take place. My wife tells me, school teacher, Sunday school, when they're teaching a lesson, the kids would say, oh, I know that story. I know it. And she goes, that's good that you know it. But we have to know what's behind the story. We have to see how we can apply behind that story the things that we can apply in our lives. It's good to know the story. It's wonderful to know the story. But what happens in that story and how we can apply it in our lives from day to day, we need every day. We need every day. And so we need to be very careful we don't reach to the point in our devotion times, our time with the Lord, where we're reading through the Bible and we become on familiar territory, if you would, or things become common to us and we think, yeah, I already know what's going to take place here, I'm going to skip this chapter. And so it's very dangerous to do that and not allow God to continue to refresh us and speak to our hearts regarding some things in our lives. I want you to think about one thing, just one thing that you could ask. If God had said to you, what shall I give thee? What would you ask for? If God Almighty said to you, I want to give you one thing, what would you ask for in your present time, right now, in your life? What would you ask from the Lord? God says, I want to give you one thing. I want you to think about that just for a second. Think about, what would you ask? Perhaps it's some of the things that we've been praying for during the week. Things perhaps that keep coming up that would ask for that. I don't know what it is in your life. But I want you to think about, what would you ask the Lord if he asked you right now, what is it you want? What would it be? What would it be? Take a moment to think about that and turn your Bibles with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings and chapter number 3. this case, God had asked King Solomon to have in a dream one thing that he could ask for. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning from verse 5, the Bible says in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night. And God said, ask what I shall give thee. If God said to you today, what's one thing that he can give to you, what would you ask? What did Solomon ask for? What did Solomon request of the Lord, this one thing? Well, notice in verse 6, and Solomon said, thou hast showed unto thy servant, my servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and uprightness in heart with thee, and hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given me a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Notice the key verse of what he asked for. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? King Solomon asked for wisdom and understanding. Notice God's response to that kind of prayer. God responds to Solomon for him asking for wisdom and understanding. Notice his response in verse 10. And the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and asked not for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked for life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thy understanding to discern judgment. King Solomon didn't ask for long life or even victory over his enemies, but comes before the Lord and asks this one thing, that God will grant to him wisdom and understanding to rule his people or to lead his people. Oh, what a wonderful thing God was pleased with. That King Solomon was concerned about how he'll govern or lead a nation for the glory of God, and how God would just grant him that wisdom so he'd be able to lead right, make right decisions in the life of, you know, his nation, or what he was planning or preparing to do as a king and in his own life, so he doesn't make any errors, or he doesn't regret some of the things that he would appoint, or regret some of the things that he would make, and he would ask that God will give him wisdom to know how to do right, to know from right and from wrong, from truth and from error. And God says, I'm pleased with that. I'm happy with that. You didn't ask for long life. You didn't ask for health and wealth and prosperity. You didn't ask even that you'd have victory over your enemies. But you'd ask for this one thing, that God will grant you wisdom and understanding. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 18 and verse 5, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. To King Solomon at his day, the greatest prayer that he would have had on his heart at that particular time, that God will grant him wisdom to know how to lead people, to know to make the right decisions, to know to make the right judgments, to not show any partiality, to try to do good before God and make sure that he's leading right, to make sure that he's leading a people aright. So you and I, the same thing is true. Every single one of us is a leader, one way or another. Your husband, your wife, your parent. One way or another, you are a leader and you're leading somebody. Your peers, influence, friends. And one thing that we can ever ask the Lord, that Lord, grant me wisdom and understanding so I'd be a better husband, a better wife, a better parent. Grant me wisdom from heaven, Lord, so I can make the right decisions when I'm faced with pressure from the people at work. When I'm under pressure for making wrong decisions, Lord, how to react, how to respond, how to deal with some things. Every single one of us is a leader in our own way, leading somebody, being an influence to someone. And it would be pleasing to God if we said today and made it a priority in our lives to say, Lord, I want wisdom, I want understanding, so I can live this life on earth pleasing to you, that will bring glory to you. Notice, he didn't ask long life. He didn't ask for something perhaps for himself, perhaps that would please himself. I don't know what you'd ask. I don't know whether you'd ask for something that God will lead you into something, perhaps marriage or work, or you know, that God will lead you to a particular decision that you're probably focusing on today. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that you've been thinking about, you've been praying about, and you say, is it wrong to be praying for a spouse? It's not wrong, but it's right to pray for the right one, that God will give us wisdom to discern His will for our lives. Absolutely. Why? So I can live my life according to God for His glory. It's not wrong to pray for a job, but the right one. So making sure my job doesn't interfere with my family life, with what God is leading me to do. There's nothing wrong to pray for these things, but the one thing that will kind of fit all these things that we have our heart's desire for is wisdom that God will grant. Not just for me. Not just for me. But that I may have this, that I may continue to make every decision in every aspect of my life to worship God and glorify God. Wisdom and understanding. Knowing what God will have me to do and doing it. It's amazing that God would say, I'm pleased with that. What a prayer. And God will even grant to him long life later on. Didn't even ask for it. He'll grant to him long life. He'll grant victory in his life in some areas. But all that he asked, this one thing, was wisdom and understanding to be a better leader. To be a person that will make decisions that will glorify God and that will make an impact for God's glory. Now, how do we get wisdom? How do we get wisdom? No doubt wisdom starts with God. No doubt about that. In Proverbs 21:30 says, there is no wisdom nor understanding nor counsel against the Lord. There is no wisdom or understanding or counsel without God. God is the source of all wisdom. God is the one that will bestow his wisdom to King Solomon. We say that King Solomon was the wisest man on earth. He was only wise because God answered that prayer to give him the wisdom that came from heaven. And so wisdom starts with God. One of the reasons our world today is in a mess is because certainly the lack of God's wisdom. The lack of having the Bible as the foundation of everything they do. Our world's a mess today, and heading in the wrong direction because it doesn't have the wisdom of God. And the Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Friends, I want to tell you here today, wisdom doesn't start with the philosophy of this world and where it's heading. Wisdom starts with the Word of God. And if we're ever going to be led right to make the right decisions in our lives, it has to start here with the Word of God. It has to start with God's wisdom in our life. There's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. You'll just kick against the pricks, trying to work it out, trying to, you know, work things out in our own mind and understanding, trying to work what's going on in some situations. Don't work it out. Trust the Lord and His Word to be your guide. Wisdom starts with the Lord. I appreciate the desire of people gathering together on a Wednesday to get in God's Word for Bible study. I appreciate that desire from many of you that have taken that time to come together and get under the God's Word. What a beautiful thing and an encouragement it is to see people still gathering together, pocket of believers, wanting to see what God says about particular things and wanting to do it God's way. It's an encouragement. It's a blessing. Wisdom starts with God. Seeking God's revealed word is the first point. Where do we get wisdom? Well, from God's word. From God's revealed word. The word of God is the wisdom of God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "For all scripture is given by inspiration of God," or it's God's breathed, it's from God. All scripture, everything, including the book of Proverbs, is the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. In doctrine is something being taught, or you know, something that we learn. It's a teaching, but not just from anyone, it's from God Almighty. It's from the omnipresent and all-knowing God, all-powerful God. It's one that knows everything, especially our hearts, and even the motive of our hearts. So it's God's breathed to us. It's the doctrine that God has given us, to us. But also reproof. The word of God convicts us of error. Convicts us of error, reveals to us where we have gone wrong. And I thank God that God doesn't stop there. Amen. He says, not only for doctrine, for reproof, but for correction. How we can get that wrong right. Praise God for that. God doesn't just kick us out and say, okay, this is where you've done wrong. He says, okay, get back up and I'm going to show you how to do it right. Thank God for His word, for His wisdom, His understanding and His counsel. So God wants to help us. The word of God helps us to know how to make the wrong right. It brings us to a restoration to walk upright and perfect before the Lord. Why? So we'd be mature, knowing what the will of the God is, knowing what God will have us to do in our work, in our labor, in our decisions, and everything that God will call us to do. And also instruction in righteousness, that is to educate us or train us or discipline us, instruct us in God's righteousness. In other words, to keep on getting it or walking right with God. And so the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. The book of Proverbs is just after the Psalms, right in the middle, about 31 Proverbs. And they say that the book of Proverbs is heavenly wisdom for an earthly walk. And that's what it is. The book of Proverbs is packed with God's wisdom to us. And you say, okay, what's a proverb? Well, proverb basically can be a saying. It can be a parable. It can be something that is symbolic, metaphor, figure of speech, simile. It could be like a byword, using examples. That God will use these different things to convey a truth and to give us understanding about certain matters. And so that's what a proverb is. And so from Proverbs chapter 1, if you want to turn there, Proverbs chapter 1, the beginning of the Proverbs, we'll see what the Proverbs, or God's wisdom, we should call it, we see what they're supposed to do in our lives. What's the Proverbs for? Okay, in verses 1 to 4 gives us that outline what the book of Proverbs is. Hey, I want to encourage you to try to get in to a proverb a day. You're reading in the Old Testament, you're reading in the New Testament, you're doing your devotions somehow, you've probably got a devotional book. I don't know how you spend your time with the Lord, but I want to try to encourage you that no matter where you are in your Bible, try to get a proverb a day in. 31 Proverbs, sometimes 31 days in a month. Try to get a proverb in. And if you can get one verse from that chapter that God just touches, that's wonderful. God's wisdom for our lives. God's wisdom for an earthly walk. All right, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know, this is the first, to know wisdom and instruction. Okay, what are the Proverbs for? To know wisdom and instruction. To give us knowledge about wisdom. To give us knowledge about instruction. So God wants us to know His wisdom. God wants us to know His instruction. Okay? So the proverb is to know wisdom and instruction and to perceive the words of understanding. Okay? So we understand the wisdom of God. We know the wisdom of God, and also to understand, to distinguish, to attend, to consider, discern, or to give meaning to understand the difference between light and darkness, truth and error, right and wrong. All right, so to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, but also to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgments, and equity. So God wants us to perceive them. He wants us to draw it in. He wants us to carry it away Why? So we can make the right judgment. So we can make the right decisions. So we can make straight, even straight decision that is according to the word of God. Equity. Isn't that what God calls us to do? Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Cutting it straight. Being people of the word, under the word. Trying to learn what God will have for us. Equity. To perceive the words of understanding, but to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. But also to give subtlety to the simple, and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Subtlety is to be cunning in a good way. To be cunning. God wants us to be cunning or in a very good way. So we're not simple or naive, or our gates are not open for acceptance of everything and anything. God wants us to test things by His word. Is this good? No, it's not. God says it's not. I'm not going to do it. Is this a good place to go? I'm going to test it by God's word. No, it's not. And so this is the wisdom of God. This is what's going to help us have subtlety. Give us discretion. To the young man, knowledge and discretion. To know what is right and wrong. And so God's word and God's wisdom is there to give us instruction. To help us discern. To make right decisions. I don't know about you, but have you ever said, I wish I didn't do that? I wish I didn't say that. And so God wants to help us in certain ways and in our lives, but we need to get into God's word, amen? And the book of Proverbs is beautiful to have God's wisdom in our lives, to know how to be a better husband, a better wife, better mother, better father, okay? To know how to lead right, to know how to handle matters wisely, to live and love right, to raise up children right, to teach us what to value most, the world, in the world, in friendships, in relationships, in families, to teach us to have the right communication with others, to teach us true forgiveness, to discern the places we go, the people that we walk with, to know what to avoid and what to embrace, to know what to keep and what to let go of, to keep away from immorality, corruption, dishonesty, and destruction, to keep from foolish actions, to discern whether we are hurting or helping people, to know when to speak, when not to speak, to be encouraged, and to know when a discouragement, God wants to help us in that. All right, to discern what is gossip and tale-bearing, so we can steer clear from that. Okay, to know how to use finances right, to understand the difference between the lazy, the diligent, the wise, the foolish, the proud, the humble. I'm just letting you know what the book of Proverbs is good for and what it can actually help us with. All right, to understand the destruction of the pride and the reward of the humble. All right, to understand the result of fearing man and the benefits of trusting God. It's wonderful. It's packed with wonderful wisdom that we can have in our lives. To make wise decisions that will glorify God, to serve right, to worship right, to give right, to love right, to understand what pleases God and what displeases God, to understand what God hates and hate it, and understand what God loves and love it. That's the book of Proverbs. And many others that I can go on and on and on that actually help us in our lives. We'll be wise to get in the Proverbs. We'll be wise to get in God's word every day and see God's heart and mind. We'll be wise to do that. That's how we get wisdom, to get into God's word. All right, let me use some examples. I've picked about four examples from the book of Proverbs. And hopefully, in the several months after we've done some teaching about some important things about the local church and other things, hopefully in the several months, I'd like to take the Sunday nights to start from chapter 1, book of Proverbs, and go verse by verse using the Sunday nights, or perhaps Sunday morning before the service. That's something to pray about and think about, whether you'd be interested to go a proverb by proverb and getting through all the way chapter 31. We might do one proverb a day. We might do one chapter. We don't know, depending on how God leads. And so please be in prayer about that. But I want to use four examples today. All right, the book of Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 25. Proverbs chapter 29 and beginning from verse 25. Okay, the Bible says there, the fear of man bringeth a snare. But whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made safe. To understand the result of fearing man and the benefits of trusting God. The fear of man can dictate a person's direction and decisions in life. It will snare you down to be reverted from God's direction. The fear of man can hinder a person from doing what God will call them to do. The fear of man can control a person, snare him down, and trap him down. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Notice, a sound mind. That we have wisdom, discretion, sober. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So how do we encourage ourselves? In the Word of God. To be people of the Word. To know the God's Word. But whosoever trusteth in the Lord shall be made safe. Quit from evil. That's a wonderful promise, isn't it? That if I can trust in the Lord, I don't have to have man govern my direction or my decisions, but I can have God govern my directions and decisions. I don't have to be manipulated into a decision, for God will lead me by His Word and by His right hand. What do I have to do? Trust the Lord. Do all things before the Lord right, and trust Him. Walk in step with the Lord and His Word. The fear of man will trap you down. It will snare you down. It will keep you trapped. But when you trust the Lord, doing what's right with all your heart, with a good conscience before God and man, and trusting in the Lord, you'll be safe. There's no other way. God's Word is an anchor to us. We need to embrace it. All right, another proverb. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. To train up, to discipline, to initiate, to dedicate, to bring up, to train up in the way of the Lord. Notice the promise. He will not, she will not depart from it. That's a promise that we can claim of the Lord. That seed of God's Word, that foundation that we can lay in the heart of those little children. I said to one of the ladies this morning, what a blessing it is to bring your kids nurtured in the Bible. I said, I envy that. I never grew up in Sunday school. I never grew up knowing and memorizing and knowing the scriptures and singing those wonderful songs. I never grew up in that. And you know what happened in my life? Destruction, despair, and anguish. You know what happened in that? I had to deal with scars and the things that I'd say, I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't go that. And I'm saying, thank God for the foundation that parents lay in the children. Thank God for the foundation that godly parents will bring up their children. Let me say something to you today. It's not legalistic to encourage the kids in the God's Word. A lot of people say, oh, you're sheltering them. No. A lot of people say to me, oh, you've been brainwashed by the Word of God. I said, what a beautiful wash. I'd rather be brainwashed by the Word of God and wash me clean than to be washed with this this world's wisdom. Train up a child. Bring a child up. Abraham was one that God knew he would do that consistently. Abraham was a man that God said about him, he's my friend. Notice what he said. You don't have to turn there for the sake of time. But notice in Genesis chapter 18, verse 17, and the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nation of the earth shall be blessed in him. Notice this verse in verse 19. For I know him. Wow. Imagine the Lord saying that about us. I know you. Know what? That he will command his children and his household after him, and they will keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, and the Lord may bring up Abraham that which he had spoken of him. Imagine God saying that about us. I know you. You fear God. You're going to rear up the children to fear God, notice, and to keep his word. Judgment and justice. And so the challenge, just from that proverb, does God know, or just from that lesson, does God know us? That we are people of the word, that would embrace God's word, that would be people under the word. Does God know us? Ephesians 6:4, notice this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The worst thing that can happen to a child is to not be nurtured up in the way of the Lord. I know him. What a great statement that God made about Abraham. All right. And we'll go to one more proverb. Proverbs 25. Actually, we'll go to two more. Proverbs 25 and verse 9. The Bible says, debate thy cause. This is to teach us how to have the right communication with others. Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that hear it put thee to shame, and thy infamy turn not away. And when you have a concern, an issue, or perhaps a misunderstanding that arises, the best person to speak to about your neighbor about that concern. And if you're the person that someone's coming to you and they say, oh, you know, such and such, the best thing that you can do is say, go speak to that person about it. I think the best thing to you is go speak to that person about it. If you want, we can go together. You know, a lot of things happen because misunderstandings have taken place. Things have been misread. But the best thing that we can ever do and ever help someone that ever happens to come to us is just say, perhaps it could be a misunderstanding before drawing a conclusion. Amen? That's just wise to do it. All right, one more. Teach us that what to value most. Proverbs chapter 17. To teach us what to value most. I love the book of Proverbs. I just love peering through the book of Proverbs and doing word searches. And one of these word searches was the one we're going to read. I think to myself, what's that? And it's just wonderful to go back and study the word and find out the definition of what that means. And we'll read it together. I'll read it and I'll just give you the explanation of that, what that word is if you don't know it. Proverbs 17 verse 1, better is a dry morsel and quietness therein than a house full of sacrifices with strife. A dry morsel is like a scrap or crumb, a piece of bread, stale, or a piece of meat that's stale. Notice that. What to value most? The Bible says, better is a dry morsel, scrap, crumb, or dry bread or meat, and quietness therein, then have a house full of sacrifices with strife. God is saying to us, it's better to have little than to have much with problems and strife. It's better to have little and not all these sacrifices that we can make and have beef, lamb and chicken and but have problems. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have these. We enjoy these and thank God that God gives us these to enjoy. But what I'm trying to say is, the Bible's saying it's better that if these are going to cause problem and living like this, it's better to live simple and have rest and peace and security than to live the lavish life and be rich and prosperity and it's just going to bring trouble. Another proverb that complements that proverb is Proverbs 15 and 16. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therein. And verse 16, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therein. A stored ox is a fatted or beefed up bull. So it's better basically to have little herbs to eat, to enjoy with love, than to have a banquet but trouble, misery and anguish and despair. So what is true prosperity? What is it that we value most that this proverb teaches me about? When I think about this, I think about Joseph. Joseph that was sold into slavery by his brothers. I think to myself, when the writer, they say it could be Moses, was penning down that Joseph was a prosperous man. I'm thinking, what do you mean Joseph was a prosperous man? He just got sold into slavery by his brothers. His brothers envy him. They wanted to kill him. And then he's been separated from his father and his brother Benjamin. And you're telling me right now he's in the Pharaoh's house, and you're telling me that he's prosperous. But notice these words. In Genesis 39 and verse 2, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man." So what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. You can have it all. You can have it all. But if you don't have God and His Word and the Lord Jesus Christ, you're a very poor man. And the thing is, you can be poor, poor as they come, and you have the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word, and you're very rich. What a wonderful thing. The Lord makes us rich. The Lord's Word is rich. Joseph, prosperous man? Yeah. Why? Because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. What a beautiful proverb. If you can get a proverb a day and get a verse, read a chapter, or you can get one that you can meditate on, it would be good. But second of all, we don't only get wisdom from God's Word, and particularly the book of Proverbs, but secondly, we get wisdom asking God through prayer. If you turn your Bibles to James chapter 1, you've got to understand that Solomon knew that he lacked wisdom. That's why he asked of God, when God had asked him, "What is this one thing that you want?" And so he asked for wisdom. You don't have to turn to 1 Kings. I'll just read chapter 3, verse 7. But notice what the Bible says. "And now, O Lord, my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David, my father." Notice. "And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." So he knew that he lacked wisdom. And so God granted him wisdom by asking for it. Over 3,000 proverbs he was granted. We have been blessed by enjoying those proverbs today. But also, we can also come to God and ask for wisdom for everyday life by asking God in prayer. Even some of these verses that we read, that God will help us to make the right decisions in some areas, that God will aid us through these proverbs. James chapter 1, beginning from verse 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and that God, and that give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not." See, God's not going to withhold. God wants to freely give us wisdom. "And it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not a man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways." That's just another message in itself. But what I'm trying to say in this, that you could ask God, but ask in faith and God will grant it to you. Ask knowing what God will have you to do in a particular time, being all genuine. Yes. Even if it's having to humble yourself and say, "Okay, I need to get this right by humbling myself. I need to do this by doing something that needs to humble me about this." Absolutely. So we can come to God, but the problem is at times we have not because we ask not. And notice, we have not because we ask not, and if we ask, we ask amiss to accumulate upon our own lusts. So what should we ask for? This one thing. What? Wisdom. Understanding. I don't understand a lot of things that happen in life, but I know that God does. I don't understand what happens in my life, but I know He does. We sometimes have a wrong view about God, don't we? God wants you to come to Him. It's almost like a father, and he'll have his little daughter, and the father will say to his little daughter, come sit over here. What do you want? What do you want to ask me? You know that picture? That you can go to your daddy and you find comfort and security. And you say, Daddy, this is what's happened. I need you to help me. You need to help me how I think. Sometimes you step out of the box and you think to yourself, you haven't been acting the way you should. So you go to your daddy and he tells you. But you know, the thing is this, you can go to your dad if he is your dad. And you can tell him and he'll give you wisdom. He'll encourage you in what to do and what not to do, what to say and what not to say. He'll give it to you liberally, freely, but we've just got to go to him asking, Lord, I'm not coming to you for me. I'm coming to you to work this out for your glory. This is not about me, Lord. I want to come to you because I want to work out whatever it is in your life that you're asking God for. For the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel. This is not just for me. This is for your glory and whatever you're asking for. Whatever it is that you're asking for. What a wonderful thing that if you're saved here today and you're a child of God, that you can go to your dad and he'll give it to you. What a wonderful thing. He won't withhold it, but he'll give it freely. The thing that we need to do is go to him freely. More often. Sometimes we react, make decisions without consulting him. And the first thing that we need to do is go to him, his word, before we make any decisions. Amen? Alright, so we have the word of God, and we have going to God by prayer, having that relationship with God. But also, lastly, it's the fear of God. What a way to start. Notice, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it's the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Coming before the Lord and being in reverence before God. Yes. Not fear that I can't come to God, but fear that I'll displease God. But I still want to come before the presence of God. In fear and trembling, I got to always remember when he's my dad, he's my Lord too. Amen? He's my father, but also he's my Lord. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom is not wisdom unless it's applied and applied right. Or wisdom is not wisdom, sorry, if the knowledge that we have is not applied right. That, and so for wisdom to be wisdom is when we apply the knowledge that we know right, or we apply knowledge, or we obey the Lord and we do that which God wants us to do. That's wisdom. It's not enough just to know. It's not enough just to keep having this knowledge and getting puffed up in it. C.H. Spurgeon said this, and it just went straight to my heart. Wonderful. And he said, wisdom is the right use of knowledge. To know is not to be wise. Many men know a great deal and are all the greater fools for it. To know how to use knowledge is to have wisdom. It is one thing to know and another thing to do. And so wisdom is to use the knowledge which we get from God and humble ourselves and say, God, yes, I need to do this. I need to do that. So in other words, it's being a doer of the word. It's doing what God will call us to do. James 1:22 and to 25 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, notice that, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Quickly go to Luke chapter 5, please, and we're going to close with this passage. Luke chapter 5, and we're done. James basically says that we need to be doers of the word and not just hearers of the word, or else we deceive ourselves, putting what we know into practice, living out what God exposes to me by his word and what God reveals to me by his counsel. And sometimes it might come as a godly parent, a godly friend, and the multitude of counselors, their safety, someone that can show me the Bible and say, this is what the Bible says, this is what we think we should do. And so someone will take and hearken unto that. A wise man, notice, a wise man will hear and will increase learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. And so the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they should be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. And so what God wants us to do is hearken unto him, counsel, anyone that leads us godly in his word to make the right decisions. Not just to know, yes, that's right, I need to do that, but to strive to do it. Hearing and doing. And that's wise. The Lord Jesus Christ said it himself. And he says in Luke chapter 5, and beginning from verse 46, he says, "And why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like." Notice, "He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and ruin of that house was great." If we want our lives to be ruined, if we want our lives to be going downhill, is when we're not being doers of God's word. So we be hearers, but we also be doers of God's word, what God reveals to me from his word. And so a wise man that builds his house upon a good foundation, upon the rock, is someone that doesn't only hear and know it, but it's someone that does it or lives it out by God's grace. God says he's wise. God says she's wise. That person is not only hearing what God says, but is actually doing what God says. A wise person builds their house upon the foundation by living out the wisdom or the word of God in their life. Knowledge puffs up. It's not enough to have knowledge. But it's making the Lord and fearing the Lord and saying, "Lord," and coming before him and saying, "You're the Lord. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be guided by your grace and by your spirit and by your word. I want to make right decisions to build on that foundation. So when trials come and when attacks from Satan come, we can stand still and be fixed. We don't have to be shaken. And where fear cometh, we don't have to be insecure, because we're just fixated on the rock. We're fearing the Lord. He has full control of our lives. We've handed our reins to him. We've made him the head of our house. We've made him the head of our church. Amen." I heard about US Airways flight 1549 in 2009. It crash landed in the Hudson River in New York. And basically they were interviewing, and the reason why it had to crash land is because birds flew into the engine, shut them down, and it was just gliding all the way down to the river. And if you don't land that right, if you don't follow the procedures of going through all the different, and that's, they actually commended the pilots for going through the procedures right in order for him to land it in such a way. You land it in a very, in an awkward way, it can come and come apart in pieces when it hits the water. Just, but he landed it in such a way where the bottom hit the water and the front just dipped in. It was a hard hit still. And there was one man that was being interviewed that was on that plane. And he said, I want to quote him, that he heard the pilot over the radio or over the speaker say, brace for impact. And he said, I quote, I had no idea how to brace for impact. What do you mean, brace for impact? And he said that everyone was looking around like, brace for impact? And one of the ladies, the steward ladies, said, heads down, heads down. And I thought about that. In that crucial moment, perhaps we weren't paying attention to the instructions. Brace for impact. Foreign. Flown so many times. How do you do it? The captain just assumed that everyone would know it. Brace for impact. To get in a bracing position. He didn't have no idea what that was. He says everyone was just looking around and she'll just scream, heads down! Heads down! Thank God everyone on that plane made it alive. Someone that hears and does is wise. Not a forgetful hero. No one that's going to walk out of this building right now and say, yep, I know that. Yeah, I've been through that. No. That will take it and say, that's good refreshing. I needed that. Yeah, this is what God's word is always about, amen. Just a fresh drink all the time. Just a new, fresh drink. Just to go back and say, I'm not going to forget that the foundation of our lives is the Word of God. It is in the Word of God that we know how to get saved. It is in the Word of God that we know how to walk in the Spirit. It is in the Word of God that reveals us the beautiful image of Christ and God and who He is. It is in the Word of God that shows us how we came into existence and where we're going to spend eternity. This is our foundation. And God elevates His Word above His name. How much more we, saying, Lord, help me not to be a forgetful hearer, but help me live it. And you know what? If I fail and fall, help me get up again, Lord, and do it right. Why? Because the Word of God is not only there to reprove us, but it's to correct us and help us. No one should kick anyone else down. We're all growing by grace, amen. But what I'm trying to say is let's not forget that the only way we're going to grow by grace is by the very Word of God. This is our authority of our faith and practice. The Word of God is going to help us, lead us, guide us to make right decisions that will glorify God, that will be better husbands, better wives, better parents, better leaders, better employees, better employers. It's the Word of God. With all heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to give you a moment just to reflect upon that. And close in prayer, with everyone bowing their heads and closing their eyes. I just want to ask for those that perhaps would want to be included in the closing prayer, and you would say, Charlie, I want wisdom in my life, and I want to be someone that diligently seeks it, that diligently strives to go after it, like one that is finding gold. I want to be serious about this and I want God's grace in my life to continue with it. I want God's word to be priority in my life. I want God to be priority in my life. I don't want to slip, turn to the left or to the right. I want to continue to seek God about different matters in every area of my life. Work, family, finance, tongue, character, whatever it is, I want the Lord to bless me and grant me the diligence to be not only a hearer, but a doer, and that God will help me not to forget. If you want prayer regarding that in closing, you say, please pray for me. You can lift up your hand. Amen. 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 Anyone else? You say, please pray for me. Just lift up your hand and slip it back down. Amen. Amen. You may be with us today and you say, I've never received the Lord as my Savior. I've never trusted the Lord. I don't know if I have a relationship with God. I don't even know if I can call Him Dad. I've never done that. You say, but today I want to know more about the gospel and how to become a child of God. If you're not sure and 100% and you'd like to be sure, you say, please, Charlie, pray for me. I'd like to know. Anyone like that, you can slip up your hand and slip it back and I'll be praying for you. And perhaps after the service we can meet and I can show you from the scriptures how you can become a true child of God. Anyone like that? Anyone have doubts? You can slip up your hand and slip it back down. Anyone like that? All right, I'll just get Brother James to come and close off in prayer and praying for the ones that had lifted up their hands.